Jerry, a very lovely morning to you. Welcome to Dailies today, 7:32, and we are back on the radio once again. Okay, I'm Sharif Quadri.
I'm Jimmy Disso. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back. It's good to have you back.
Yes.
How was your holiday, by the way?
Fantastic. You know what I did?
What did you do?
I locked myself up in my flat, switched off all my phones and everything.
That's it?
For 10 days, yes. Beautiful.
You switched off your phone.
I switched off my phone most of the time, you know. Yeah. I wasn't just available for anybody. And so I had my peace of mind. And I didn't go out.
For 10 days?
I went on Christmas Day. I went to eat jollof rice. And on New Year's Day, I went to eat jollof rice at Mommy's place.
That's it?
Our mommy, yes. In Falulu. She always has Christmas rice and all these things, lovely things like that. So, aside from that, I didn't go anywhere.
Ooh.
Ah, by the way,
nice,
you know I had told you, I need to tell people this.
Yeah.
You know I had told you that I wanted to go to Ibadan.
Yes.
And I was going to stay in IITA.
That's right.
And I was going to go by rail.
Mm.
But something kept telling me, rail accident. You must listen to your body. Real accident. My law. There's going to be a thing. I wasn't surprised when Edo State that
when the Edo issue.
The issue came up. I've become a prophet, most of one. Should I tell you who's going to win the next election?
No, don't. Don't do that. Don't do that.
I know I've seen. Pastor Adeboye said God has not told him, but I have seen it. Yes.
God has told you.
God did. I saw it.
It's God now. It's God that will make you see it.
I'm not seeing it, but told is different from seeing. I've seen it.
Okay. Are you going to tell me a secret?
No. The spirits have told me not to reveal to anybody.
Okay.
But I can tell you what he was wearing when I saw him in the dream.
What's the attire like?
Let me ask first.
Ah, you say you tell me now. You said you saw the person.
They were all waiting at home for me to say something. Let's go.
Let's move on. Let's start. You can watch on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. So this story reads, Ojota Fraka rally turns bloody as Yoruba Nation agitators police clash. The writer says one killed, two policemen injured, four suspects arrested, investigation ongoing according to the police. We will not tolerate attacks on our personnel, CP Alabi, or PC not involved in Ojota Fraka, Gani Adams.
Yeah, you know, this news came up yesterday,
yeah.
And it first got to me through some video that apparently went viral. And what I can see here is not clear for me to make what I will call an informed commentary on it, because the first thing that I read here is that, okay, the persons who claim to be Yoruba agitators, that's what they are, the Yoruba Nation agitators. It was said here that they assembled as early as 3 a.m., you know, at Ojota. So that rings a bell in my head. I don't know whether it is true or not, you know. The other part that it says, an account said they assembled around Ganefa Emi Freedom for a rally to demand Yoruba Nation. And then also, it also says that some of the agitators alleged that they said the rally was peaceful until the arrival of some policemen who fired tear gas canisters to disperse them. But it also says that another version of the account added that when the police arrived at the scene to ensure that the rally did not disturb the peace of the area, some miscreants who hijacked the rally. Now, this always happens.
It's always been the problem.
It's always been the problem. So what I expect, if you want to have a rally, is to get police protection, really, you know, so that it is not hijacked and people don't misunderstand your intention. I mean, that is very clear. I'm not surprised to hear that it was. If you start a rally of any sort, no matter how peaceful, indeed, if you just want to do a rally on Christmas Day as Christians, let's say on Palm Sunday or whatever, you are advised to get security protection because it can be hijacked. You know, that much I know. And then it says that another version says that the hall stones at the policemen demanding that they leave the place. That is the. Not the people who are having the rally, but some miscreants. That is the story we're getting. Of course, there's a picture of a story. There was a picture of a man who was unfortunately killed yesterday. You know, we saw it in the video.
Right.
With all the arms and amulets and so on and so forth. I'm going to advise that we be careful with some of these protections that we have. It's a pity you can't test them beforehand, but I think discretion is
I saw a video of somebody who was testing it too.
Yesterday.
No, not this one. I mean, I saw a video of someone who was testing charms.
Did you check the bullet to see if it was blanks?
You know, it wasn't even bullet.
What was it?
It was a machete.
Kowale.
sorry. It's heavier than your own.
The truth really is that these things do exist. I mean, let's get that very clear. A lot of things exist, but you know there are also charlatans in this business. So you better be careful. You remember I told you the story of what would have happened to Fela?
To Fela, yeah.
Yes. And then the OPC have, you know, they say they had nothing to do with it, both the Ghanaian dance faction and the fashion of faction. All said and done, you know, my condolences to both sides that have lost people. In the interim, whilst we're trying to sort out what actually did happen, we'd like to ask all sides to please ensure peace so that we can have a peaceful election, which INEC, incidentally, in another story, is saying that it's being threatened and that it might necessitate cancelling the election altogether. Now, that we don't want. I don't think Nigeria can be saddled with a situation where you now have to, have some kind of interim government. How do you put it together? How do you put that kind of thing together? So let's all be extremely careful, please, whilst this is going on. In a day or two, we'll probably would have a clearer picture.
Exactly.
But I'd advise everybody to sheath their swords until you're quite sure about what took place.
I mean, I agree with you that in a day or two, we'll have a clearer picture. Because when the whole thing happened yesterday, yesterday morning, the initial report was that the OPC guys and the Yoruba Nation Agitators clashed. Then police went there
to disperse.
That's why OPC is actually reacting.
Oh, to say that.
To say that they were not involved. Because that was the initial report. Only for this morning, then it developed to...
Well, if I may add, agitation for self-determination.
Right.
It's not done on the streets, really. There's a systemic manner by which these things are done. And the first one, I think, would be a referendum amongst the people that you represent. You need to find out whether majority are with you on this. It's a long process. It's a marathon. It's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah.
And it's not going to happen on the streets. But that's a story for another day.
Right. Let's talk about the story you already mentioned. Insecurity polls may be postponed, cancelled. INEC.
This frightened me when I saw it front page of the Vanguard, but it was just said like in passing that look, if you don't take care of all the security challenges, I mean it stands to reason you can't have an election in the middle of crisis. As it is, I can assure you that election might not take place in certain areas, or might not take place in a conducive manner in certain areas because of security challenges, and therefore it's something we need to call on the authorities concerned to make sure that is taken care of. But it was being said yesterday by Chairman Board of Electoral Institute TEL, INEC's training arm, Professor Zuru. And he says INEC decried waves of attacks on its offices and facilities since releasing data detailing 50 attacks across 15 states. 50 attacks across 15 states. And he keeps insisting this must not happen. But he says there's no going back on beavers. And I like that. And there's no going back on real-time polling unit results, which will be uploaded on IRIV. And then he says INEC must manage security threats, IFES. Well, this ball will be passed to the commander-in-chief of the armed forces and the president. The buck will stop on his table. So it's left to him and the security people to make sure that nobody from any side wants to use violence in any manner to truncate.
You know, that's interesting because earlier this morning when we talked about this, quite a number of people seemed to be addressing INEC directly. as though INEC, you know, intends to postpone the election, or INEC is in charge of security or insecurity.
No, INEC is just being honest. I mean, let's. Who is going to conduct an election if there's so much violence and so much instability? These people are human beings. Mm. Nobody's going to be putting his life on the risk if we can't get. And it's very dangerous. What also bothers me is the politicians themselves are raising the ante. Some of them, bereft completely of ideas, have resorted to abuses and, you know, ethnicity and so on and so forth. The kind of rhetoric you get, like saying that, oh, some people came from some other part of the country, distinguishing between nationalities in a nation, is quite unfair. And I beg all our aspirants and their supporters and their whatever, you don't want to break a nation because you want to lead it. Singling out people. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Singling out people of a certain nationality and saying, oh, they move from this to that. Or you single out you say, oh, these people, they're into bad business, they're into Yahoo and things like that. Those are not the issues. Those are not the issues. We shouldn't let these politicians divide us just because they want to rule. Do you want to rule over a fractured country? So we the people now need to call all these people to order, to say to them, look, listen, we want a peaceful nation. Could you please politely tell us what you want to do? Leave your opponent alone. Talk about yourself. Leave other, don't bring in nationalities. Don't divide the country just because you want to. After all, you are going to be president of all.
That's right.
But from what you get from the political, you know, terrain, it's frightening. What is frightening is what they say. It's not what they say. What is frightening is what they think. You know, the thought process is very, very frightening. And I hope, we have 6 weeks to go. Let's see how far we'll be able to contain that till then.
Let's go to the Punch newspaper. Page 2 of the Punch has a story here. DSS director's wife orders Kano governorship candidates arrest.
Again, this story, I need to get a full brief on it, because by simple common sense, the DSS director's wife should not be in the position to order anybody's arrest. I think Dr. Afunaya needs to give us some clearance on that, because that would be quite unfortunate. That would be quite unfortunate. He needs to react to this statement that the DSS wife, because now if that were to be true, we're now having a case of one wife too many. You know, the president's wife, the gentleman who was said to have done whatever it is, and now with this one. And it's a trend that must be curtailed. But what it was actually is that, you know, and the story, it turns my stomach to say that, listen to how it is written in the Punch by a source said, the DSS wife actually ordered the arrest of the Kano governorship candidate, Abba Yusuf, and barred him from boarding an airpiece flight from Kano to Abuja. That is one troubling part. The second one is that, listen to this, and it is only in Nigeria that I hear things like this. The trouble started at the gate of the VIP lounge of the Aminu Kano International Airport, Kano, when the motorcade. I mean, these habits we need to curtail. Motorcade, security, convoy, and it's I only hear of things like that here. Maybe it happens in other countries, I don't know. But for the countries I've visited, you don't. When you get to a point, no matter what VIP you are, you can easily come down and walk into, you know, all this convoy. It happens even at social parties, bringing everything to a stop. I hope that whoever takes over government in 2023 will have to review all these nonsense protocols that we have. Because it says, okay, the trouble started at the gate of the VIP lounge when the motorcade of the political cause traffic, wild bitches convoy, you know, from gate 993 into the controlled area. You know, and it reminds me of Amechi and Wiki, you know, back in the day when two of them, don't let me use it, I'm just back from holiday. I could have used the most annoying of words to describe them. We need to stop this VIP habit of convoy and this and security. Security is not what you see. Security is what you don't see. I mean, I would have thought that the DSS's, the DG's wife, would like to slip into the airport. Half of her security will already be seated inside, one pretending to run a shop and so on and so forth. She slips in with one aide. Mm. Another two or three are in the car park and just sleeping. But what we do in this country is we always use these things as a matter of show. Mm. Now, I'm not saying it's peculiar to her. I'm just saying generally. And this is what brings this about, because the other two, he was going to travel. He came in a motorcade. So motorcade and convoy can't clash for airports. Okay? And since the action really angered Bichi, that now ego has set in. And her security guard started beating up people and hitting vehicles for blocking the VIP gate. Mm. Dr. Afunaya needs to please react to that. Dr. Afunaya is the spokesperson of the DSS. Mm. He needs to react to that. This story that says that security guard started beating up people and hitting vehicles for blocking the VIP gate. It says, however, all efforts to contact the spokesperson for NNPP proved abortive. But DSS spokesman Peter Afunaya, he confirmed Yusuf's arrest, and that he added that he was arrested for a suspected breach of security and kept in custody. So as we speak, or as at the time this story was written, the dead man is in custody. And Afunaya says that he is in custody. He was validly taken in for a suspected breach of security. Of course, the DSS would want to protect the wife of the DG. Mm. That goes without saying. But we also need to be careful, you know, to make sure that things are done within the ambit of the law. And we also need to review our protocols with all this convoy. It's not peculiar to these people, not even peculiar to government people. Mm. If you go to some parts of the country, the convoy includes ordinary civilians shooting in the air when the VIP is coming. I don't know where we got all these, some of these childish things from. Just to show that, yeah, you know, I'm the one. I don't know. You find people, one person with scores of policemen, one dozen of them, shooting in the air, doing all kinds of things. That didn't take place here anyway. Mm. But I plead that the top level intervention happen in this case before it gets completely out of hand.
Indeed. Let's go to another page in the Punch, page 13 this time. Atiku arrives UK for meeting with British government. That's here in the Punch.
I don't know. Nigeria got independence in 1960, have you?
They said so.
I remember I was there.
Okay.
I was at race course, and flying the flag and so on and so forth. But we still allow ourselves to be treated as if we are part of the British colony. I'm sorry to say that. Why hasn't Ghana invited Atiku and Tinubu and Peter Obi? These are our neighbors. Why hasn't Benin Republic done the same? Our politicians are quick to fly to the UK. They were invited. Invited for what? You want to run an election in Nigeria? That's your constituency. And so this idea of going and then going again with a convoy of people, I think our politicians need to examine this. The article is going with Raymond Dokwesi, Ndudi Lumelu, Senator Dino Melaye, Leno Mokri, and Timmy Frank to discuss what? He's not yet the president. The photo ops to those of us here is, are they going there for instructions? And I think we need to free ourselves from all this. Yesterday I had to take on Abike Dabiri, who was congratulating US congressmen of Nigerian descent and saying something to the effect that they made us proud. I had to correct her on Twitter that these people are not Nigerians, they are of Nigerian descent, and they are not representing Nigeria. And so I asked her, I hope this your Twitter handle is personal, and this is not the official position, because if it is, then we have a great disaster on our hands. When are we going to emancipate ourselves? I don't like this. I don't like it one bit. So how many countries will invite our presidential aspirants? If so, you want to go to America, you want to go to whatever, you want to go to China, you want to go. Yet your electorate at home, some of you will not talk to them. We're going through a second slavery. We don't understand. We're in a hole. We're digging deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Some of our leaders are bounding us to the Philistines. They're selling us. What are you going to? Why would invitation for what? If the British government want to have some interaction with you, they should come here and talk to you privately. But we like this idea, you know, we all go to the UK. The other day was Chatham House. Now they're going for briefing. We need to emancipate ourselves. In all honesty, we have a long way. One of them, ironically, Raymond Dokwesi, had a problem yesterday, or day before. He was arrested. Okay? We got news that he was arrested. He was eventually freed. And the statement from his office is that Dokwesi arrived via Frankfurt from Abuja on a Lufthansa flight. He was delayed at the airport for some hours before his passport was stamped. What we got to hear was not that he was delayed. He was taken off the plane. I know how that works. The plane arrives, everybody sit down, don't go anywhere. The police come in and take out that person. That is not an immigration matter.
Hmm.
So for people, for those of us who like to explain, the plane was stopped. He was asked for and picked. So it's not an immigration. So it's not, I don't think it has anything to do with immigration. But he's there, you know, with Atiku. But responding to inquiries from the Punch about Dokwesi's arrest, the Metropolitan, in an email, did not mention the PDP chieftain's name. That might just be diplomacy. But listen to their statement. The Mail read, on Sunday, 8 January, a 71-year-old man was arrested at Heathrow Airport on suspicion of rape. The arrest relates to an allegation of rape in August 2019. The man has been bailed pending further inquiries to a date in early April. Inquiries into the circumstances continue. And they say, please note that we don't confirm the identity of any person who has been arrested but not charged. And the Punch couldn't reach Dokwemu. Dokwesi for a statement. Now, a source in Dark Communications, where he works, says that rape is not possible. I am not in the UK. I don't have information on why Dokwesi was held and released. If it was a rape case, will they release him? Let me take that first. Whatever the case might be, since he's coming on the invitation of the British government, they could allow him in but not allow him out. He hasn't told us whether they've given his passport back to him. Mm. So, because the police say that he's on bail. And then the statement goes on to say, it is the most unfair allegation against him. You don't know how those things work, Oga. Is it in Nigeria or UK? Mm. If Nigeria didn't fight, is it the UK that will fight him over rape? Nobody is fighting anybody. People need to understand, you need to go to Google or whatever and read the definition of rape by the UK under the UK laws. What even did America, indeed even here, rape doesn't mean grabbing somebody and tearing their clothes to pieces. No, you could even be charged for raping your wife. The rape case that you have that involves certain Nigerians without discretion is statutory rape, when you go and have some kind of canon knowledge of somebody who is underage, even with that person's consent.
Mm.
I was telling a young man about 9 months ago. He looked at me steady-eyed. I said, how old are you? He said, I'm 19. I said, how old is your girlfriend? He said, 17. Do you have anything to do with that? I said, okay, so we take that as a yes. I said, do you know you could go to jail for what you're doing? If you have canon knowledge of anybody under 18, with or without their consent, it could be saturated. Now, I'm not saying that is what in this case. I'm just educating, want to educate ourselves on this. So, at the end of the day, we still don't have a clear idea. If Mr. Dr. Dokwesi likes, he can make it public. If not, it's his personal. It's not a public officer, so it's his personal whatever. So, but I just thought we need to put some explanation on that.
Right. This is where would rest it, because let me add to that. Initial report was that Dokwesi was going to the UK. Atiku was going to the UK for medical treatment. Then the PDP guys came out to say, "No, it was a meeting with the UK government." Whatever it is, I guess we'll find out sooner or later. Abby, we'll find out.
Well, if we go by, and people should please note that we do our reviews based on what is in the papers.
Right.
So we always keep quoting that is what in the papers. Maybe he just wants to stop by. But okay, so Dokwesi and all the others, what would they be doing? They're joining him on holiday?
Because, okay, so look at it this way. You're going to the UK government to go and whatever it is, I mean, aren't you supposed to go with some people that would eventually make it into your cabinet? Like your petroleum minister?
Well,
like
he's gone with Dinon. I didn't know I'm making it into his cabinet. What is wrong with that?
What is he going
he's
to do?
He's over 18.
What?
Well,
of course he's over 18.
A man can have a cabinet that he wants. He's over 18.
What about
a state government who has a top official who cannot read and write?
Yenko. Yen Luleni.
End of story.
Oh, Luleni.
Second base there.
Thank you so much this morning. What a great start to the week. Thank you. Let's take the news. After the news, we'll talk about agro exports. Because, like I said, this year will likely be a very rough one. So let's talk to you about other options that you've got available to you to make some money this year. We have an expert, an internationally certified export expert, you know, on the show this morning that we're talking to. Stay with us.
Summon the oracle now.
Greetings, my king. How can the oracle...
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like the brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not